I'm sure we don't know, but we're versatile. Before I introduce the speaker this morning, we have a family of descendants of one of the men who was an elder at this church back when this building was built originally. And they're scattered to the far ends of the earth, even as far as Oklahoma City. And I'd like for that family to stand up. Some of them were children with their father, and now they're the patriarchs of the family. Y'all stand up, and we want to welcome you and thank you. There's nothing any father wants more than to have his faith carried out and lived out in his descendants. And so we're glad to have them here. Our speaker today, you can turn to 948. 948 will be the song after the sermon. Our speaker today has been, of course, a long personal friend of mine, maybe my best friend that I've had for over 50 years. But he was my father's friend, and I thought it would be appropriate to have him speak for us on Father's Day. Not only because his son Doug is one of our members, but because out of a personal reflection that my father requested that Joe Barnett speak at his memorial service. He thought so highly of Joe, of all the men in the brotherhood that my father knew. He chose Joe Barnett to be the one to speak at his service. And of course, our family had Joe speak not only at his service, but at my mother's service. And we go back so far and so long. If you've not subscribed, and I say subscribe because there's no money in it, no cost to it, but simply the internet service that you can get of Joe's daily devotionals with Pathway Evangelism, please do that. If you're visiting with us, we have a way that you can put your name to the list. It comes free of charge to you every morning, and it's devotionals that will inspire you and keep you spiritually alive that day, and we encourage you to do that. Not long ago, some people visited with us at this congregation from another town in Texas, and I was surprised but found interesting. The man asked me, he says, when is your friend going to be here again? And I knew immediately who he was talking about. That was, when was Joe Barnett going to speak again? And I said, well, very soon. And we're happy to have Joe speak to us on this Father's Day and bring us a special lesson.
I suppose that you have noticed that Alan and I share a rail and that we always try to get there at different times so that we don't collide. It's always such a delight to be with you and to see you, and especially today I am thrilled to be permitted to deliver a Father's Day sermon from this pulpit. You're going to find it to be different from any Father's Day sermon that you've ever heard. I hope there'll be something in it that will be meaningful to you. I don't know whether you'll like it or whether you won't, but there's one thing I'm absolutely sure of. You're going to like the length of it. It's much shorter than mine usually are. I want to begin, Alan mentioned his father, and I want to begin this message with a tribute to Alan's father. Not just because he was the father of Alan and his three siblings, but because he was also the spiritual father to literally hundreds of young men. Let me tell you the story. A.V. Isbell is one of the unsung heroes of the 20th century church. There is a college today over in Terrell, Texas, Southwestern Christian College, It's a historically black college that would not exist if it were not for A.V. Isbell. Dr. Robert E. Hooper wrote a book titled The Distinct People, A History of Churches of Christ in the 20th Century. And in his brief treatment of Southwestern Christian College, he credits A.V. Isbell with having saved that school. A.V. Isbell was the third president of Southwestern Christian College, following E.W. McMillan and H.L. Barber. Barber was in a little bit over his head, and he asked A.V. Isbell to come and help him. And A.V. Isbell answered that call. And shortly after that, in 1956, Barber passed away, and A.V. Isbell became the president of that college. And Hooper makes this statement in his book: A.V. Isbell successfully reduced the debt and pushed the school toward accreditation. The school was deeply, deeply in debt. Because all of the other colleges connected with Churches of Christ were segregated at that time, Southwestern was the only place that a young black Church of Christ student could get a college education. A.V. Isbell was the catalyst, actually, in desegregating Abilene Christian College. He wasn't the only one that was involved in that, but there was a young student that finished 2 years. That school at Southwestern is a two-year college. And he finished 2 years there. His name was Billy Curl. A.V. Isbell saw a lot of promise in that young man, and he felt like that he ought to continue his education. And he felt that he ought to continue it at Abilene Christian College. And so he went to bat for causing that to happen, and Billy Curl became the first black student admitted to Abilene Christian College. Curl left Abilene after getting an education there. He went to Ethiopia, and he and his teammates established over 30 congregations in Ethiopia. And when he returned to the United States, he became minister of the Crenshaw Boulevard Church in Los Angeles, and he was there with them for 40 years. He's only one of many. I want you to picture this. This very morning, at this very moment, hundreds of preachers who graduated from Southwestern Christian College are preaching to thousands of people around the world. And it's very questionable if any of them who graduated in the last 50 years are aware of the contribution that A.V. Isbell made to their education. But there is a sense in which he is standing in every single one of those pulpits this morning. What God can do with the work of one quiet but determined and committed person is incredibly impressive. To the best of my knowledge and to my sorrow, A.V. Isbell's saving contribution to that school has never been celebrated or even acknowledged. But it's an incredible and valuable contribution that came in a time of crisis. That school, people, would have gone out of business 62 years ago if it were not for A.V. Isbell. How many preachers have been trained in those 62 years, I have no idea. A.V. Isbell died in November 2005, and I am incredibly pleased and honored to be able to salute this good man today from this pulpit where his son regularly preaches. This is my 13th Father's Day without a father. For over 70 years, I had one of the best. He died on August the 7th, 2004. I was born in the fourth year of the Great Depression. But because of my father, I didn't even know there was a depression. When I was under his roof, I didn't worry about such things as income tax, car payments, mortgages. Those are things that landed on my dad's desk. But because of him, the bills got paid, and there was food on the table, clothes in the closets. And I didn't know it then, but I know it now, that it was all happening because my father worked not from daylight to dark, but from dark to dark. High on the list of things I'm grateful for is the trust my father placed in me. That covers many things, but most of all, I'm grateful that he trusted me with his name and that he trusted me with his religion. He never did anything to cause me to be ashamed of the family name. He never did anything to cause me to be ashamed of the religion that he espoused. And he trusted me to live up to that and pass along that legacy. I'm grateful for it. The first time that I spoke at the Woodland Oaks Church in the Woodlands, there was a man who approached me, and his name tag indicated that he was an elder of that church. And I had never seen him before, but he shook my hand and he said, "My name, Joe, is Mark Freeman. And I want you to know what a great impact your father had on me." He went ahead to tell me that he was only 3 years old when his family, who lived in Fort Worth, became acquainted with my dad. And he said when he was 3 years old, my father showed a genuine interest in him and made him feel very, very special. And he said he continued to do that all through the years when I was growing up. And it impacted my life. My father did not live long enough to see what a fine man that little boy became. But seemingly small things can be powerful and far-reaching, and those things often outlive the physical life of the giver. If you'll indulge me, I want to share with you some lessons that I learned from my dad. And I have a threefold purpose in this. One, of course, is to pay tribute to him. The second is to nudge you to pause and thank God for the memories that you have that your father left with you. Or if some unfortunate reason means that that relationship was more painful than pleasant, then I would like for it to be used as a determination to you to pass on good things to the next generation. And my third purpose would be to be an encouragement to those of you who still have children living in your house to build good memories for your kids by your words and by your life. Those of you who receive my daily email devotionals that Alan mentioned know that I'm very fond of aphorisms. Those are those little short sayings that we always hope have big meaning. Carry away statements, I sometimes call them, and I always use one of those at the end of my devotionals. And some people call that bumper sticker theology, and there is some danger attached by that, because there's always a danger in boiling down complex principles into simplistic statements. And at the risk of having done that in some instances, I want to use that format to tell you a few things that my father taught me. I started writing these down quite a while back, And again, those of you who received those email messages may have seen some of these before because I have used some of them. These are not his words, except in rare instances. They're simply my expressions of what he said and what he did. My father did not have the gift of making a long story short. He had an incredible gift of making a short story long. But he left a legacy of words and works of enormous value. I learned much from his words, but much more from the eloquence of his exemplary life. So here we go. From him I learned that failure will rarely come because I try and fail, but because I fail to try. I learned that success or failure is caused more by attitude than by aptitude. I learned that I don't have to be successful to start, but I have to start to be successful. I learned that success lies not in achieving what I aim at, but in aiming at what I ought to achieve. I learned that there will be both success and failure along the way, and neither should be taken too seriously. I learned that courage is not being fearless, but finding the strength to do what I have to do, even when I'm afraid. I learned that something needs to be done that won't be done unless I do it. I learned that to risk nothing is to achieve nothing. I learned that victories never come at bargain prices. I learned that two kinds of people fail: those who listen to nobody and those who listen to everybody. I learned that there's a difference between what's achievable and what's worth achieving. From him I learned that I can't choose where I came from, but I can choose where I'm going. I learned that where I am is less important than the direction in which I'm moving. I learned that strong minds rise above misfortune. I learned that things will turn out best when I make the best of the way things turn out. I learned that I can't change everything that I face, but I can't change anything until I face it. I learned that self-pity requires no self-control, no courage, no character. I learned that it doesn't take any brains to complain. I learned that negative thoughts never produce positive results. I learned that I will become what I think about. I learned that I make choices, and choices have results, and I have to live with those results. I learned that I'm young only once, but I can be immature indefinitely. I learned that the contented person is never poor and the discontented never rich. I learned that I should focus not on the things that I don't have, but on the things that I have and be grateful. I learned that happiness comes not from the goods I have, but from the good I do. I learned that I should be true to my conscience, not to popular opinion. From him I learned that I shouldn't let my behavior be governed by the attitudes and actions of others. I learned that I shouldn't get so wrapped up in what I'm against that nobody can tell what I'm for. I learned that the heaviest thing I can carry is a grudge. I learned that he who angers me controls me. I learned that the only people I should try to get even with are those who have helped me. I learned that if I'll put myself in the other person's place, I'll be less likely to want to put him in his place. I learned that judging others is not my right. I learned that I should think all I speak, but I should not speak all I think. I learned that I don't have to explain something I haven't said. From him I learned that today is always here, tomorrow never. I learned that I should never let a charitable thought end with a good intention. I learned that the best things in life aren't things. I learned that if I have integrity, nothing else matters. And that if I don't have integrity, nothing else matters. I learned that there is no right way to do a wrong thing. From him I learned that the only one who can do me lasting harm is me. I learned that God's presence and power are always available. And people, that's true. The presence and power of God is always available. And it's available to you because he wants to be your father. This is Father's Day. He wants to be your father. In Galatians 4, we are told that God established a new covenant with Jesus so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And it goes on to say that now you can call God your dear father, Abba Father. And if you haven't signed on for that adoption, this would be a very good time to do it while we stand and sing.
Well, Joe, looks like you outdid yourself. I thought that impossible. Thank you for that wonderful message. And let me encourage everyone to go to our website, because that message will be up on our website under Joe's byline on our website at noon tomorrow. The address is in the front of your bulletin, BroadwayChurchOfChrist.org. And let me encourage you all to do that. And thank you for the remembrance of a dear friend, Billy Curl. He and I were dear friends in Los Angeles at Crenshaw for many years, so thank you. And for all the fathers, stand numb for a moment, and everybody else, give them a hand. Fatherhood in and of itself is something to be cherished, because it allows younger men to emulate and younger men to form models. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we're just so thankful. Thankful, Heavenly Father, for the many men that you've put in front of us throughout our lives to guide us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that those who have been appointed, Heavenly Father, to give us direction, appointed, Heavenly Father, to be models for us, that we have taken those messages to heart, that we have fashioned our lives, Heavenly Father, after those who have been appointed to guide us. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for you and your Son, Jesus Christ, for the many, many opportunities we have to emulate you, to do the things you would have us do so others will know your desires for them through us. Heavenly Father, we pray that we remain strong, steadfast, and steady. And as we traverse this world and continue to let people know what it is to be a Christian father. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who support us in that effort. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.